Welcome to Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yechezkel, Perkut Bet, Chapter 12. The Nevuah in our parak comes on the heels of the last four prakim, in which we joined Yechezkel as God took him on a virtual tour of Yerushalayim. If you recall, Yechezkel's journey started in Perkut Chet, where God showed him the toivot in the Mikdash. Now, in our parak, Yechezkel seems to be addressing these same Jews of Yerushalayim, whose toivot actions he saw back in Perek Chet. Those in Yerushalayim are destined to join their brethren in Bavel. But, as we saw back in Perek Aleph, the news of this impending galut is something the people of Yerushalayim didn't really want to hear. Yechezkel's mission in our parak is to help these people prepare for the impending galut by physically showing them, in concrete terms, what going into galut will look like. Let's look at how this plays out. In Perek Yud Bet, God asks Yechezkel to act out a scene related to the impending galut. Now, this isn't a first, of course. We've seen Yechezkel perform similar actions before. Earlier in the Sefer, God instructed him to create a brick replica of Yerushalayim in Matsur. But this time, in Perek Yud Bet, the symbol is Yechezkel himself. As Pasuk Hei tells us, Ki mofet netaticha, I've made you into the symbol. Last time, when Yechezkel created a mini Yerushalayim, it was almost a mini dollhouse or castle with little play figures to complete the scene. Now, no more replica structures. You yourself will be the actor in a scene you will create. And in that scene, you will model for them going into Galut. This charade in which Yechezkel prepares to go into the Gola involves making clay Gola, instruments of travel. Our Navi is to travel from his home to another location. He is to begin by leaving his spa, Le'inehem, in front of the people's eyes, at night. God says, Chatur l'chakir, make a hole in the wall and leave through this hole in alata, a word that means complete darkness. As you carry your travel accoutrements on your shoulder, just as a refugee would, do all this, Le'inehem, before their eyes. Yechezkel takes in all these instructions, and in Pasuk Zayin, we hear his report. He has carried out his mission as instructed by God. Then, in Pasuk Tet, he gets to the point of all these actions as God sees it. Why is Yechezkel to do all this? In order to provoke questions. The B'nai Meri will naturally see Yechezkel preparing for Galut in this little person play he's performing, and they'll ask Yechezkel what he is doing. And then he'll have the opportunity to explain, Kasher asiti, kein ye'aseh lachem, bagola. He should answer them, just as I have done, so will happen to you as you are exiled. If we look at Pasuk Yud, though, we will see that there is also something deeper going on here. In addition to acting out the galut of Kol Bei Israel, all of Israel, there is someone in particular whose fate Yechezkel is acting out. And that is someone Yechezkel refers to as the Nasi, the leader. Who is this leader? He isn't explicitly named, but whoever he is, Yechezkel tells us, the leader will leave the city of Yerushalayim in alata, in complete darkness, through a hole in the wall. Lo yir'eh la'ayin et ha'aretz, he won't see the land. Ufarasti et rishti alav, God says, I will trap him in a net. After all that, the Nasi will come to Bavel. God says, Veheveti, I will bring him to the land of Bavel, referred to as the land of Kastim. But strangely, we hear that this leader won't actually see Bavel. That's mysterious. Why won't he see the land he's in? Good question. We will get back to that. But meanwhile, as we continue in Pasuk Yud Daled, we are told that all of the leader's officers will come to help him, but they won't be able to. Instead, they'll all be scattered to the wind. Cherev arig achareihem, the sword will chase after them. The psukim continue into the why. When I scatter them, God says, this will show them that I am God. And when I save anshei mispar, a small number of them, it is l'ma'an yisapru et kol toavotehem. It is so that these survivors will tell the nations about the abominations that brought them to this point. And then the verses conclude, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, the purpose of it all now becomes clear. Not only will people recognize that their sins brought them to this point, but the nations will realize it as well. So just to recap, Yechezkel acts out a person going to Galut, seemingly in order to make the idea of exile more concrete to the Jews of Yerushalayim and their leader, who are on the precipice of exile. Now, I mentioned it seems there's something deeper going on here. So let me try to show you that. Remember when Yechezkel was supposed to go into darkness, mimicking what the leader of Yerushalayim would do? That word for darkness is alata. It's an unusual word. As a matter of fact, it is used only one other time in Tanakh. Where? Back in the story of Avraham in Sefer Bereishit in the Brit Bein HaBetarim, when God makes a covenant, a Brit with Avraham. There it says, Hine Hashemesh Ba'ah Ve'alata Haya. After the sun set, there was alata, a deep darkness. When Yechezkel uses a word as rare as alata to describe the darkness, it almost seems like the text is calling upon us to connect these stories. So let's try our hand at that. Let's refresh our memory about Bereishit, Perek Tet Vav, the Brit Bein HaBetarim. Just before that Brit, God had been talking to Avraham, and Avraham had been saying that he was worried that he wasn't going to have any children. God tells him that he will go from having no children to having many children. Habet na hashemayma, usfor et hakochavim, ibtucha lisporotam. Look toward the heavens and count the stars. Can you count them? The text there then tells us, Ve'emin b'Hashem, v'yachsheveh lo tzedaka. Avraham believed God's promise of children, and he considered it as an act of tzedaka, of great kindness to him. God then reintroduces himself to Avraham. He tells him, I am the God who took you out of Ur in the land of the Kastim to bring you into the land of Canaan. Avraham then asks God how he knows he will really inherit the land. And at that point, God tells him to do mysterious things, to cut up the corpses of animals while allowing a bird to fly free. Then God tells Avraham that his children will ultimately endure a very long exile, 400 years in someone else's land, but God will eventually redeem them. Now, why of all things would Yechezkel be referring back to that vision in our parak? The word alata seems to be a tip-off that the leader is supposed to remember the Brit Bein HaBetarim. Are there other connections? There are actually other resonances back to Bereishit Tet Vav. Consider, for example, the word mispar. It gets used twice in the Brit Bein HaBetarim, when God promises Avraham more children than he can count. And in our parak, the same word gets used twice, too, when Hashem tells Yechezkel that the nation, once exiled, will go from being many people to being very few. Only anshei mispar, a very few, will remain, says Yechezkel, and they will be misaper. They will tell about their toivot. And now, here's a third connection in Yechezkel that takes us back to the Brit Bein HaBetarim. When God introduces himself to Avraham, he says, Ani Hashem asher hotzei ticha meor kastim. I am God who took you out of the land of Kastim. Lo and behold, in Yechezkel, this word hotzei comes up multiple times in the parak. When God, for example, asks the Navi to take out the Klei Agola and says the Nasi will be taken out from the land. And remember Ur Kastim? The place God took Avram out of was Ur Kastim. In our parak, that is the same place that the Navi in Yechezkel is headed to, as we see in Pasuk Yud-Gimel. Ve'eveta oto bavela eretz Kastim. What's going on here? The answer is there seems to be a striking inverse relationship that emerges between these stories. The story of the Brit Bein HaBetarim is a story of how Israel will eventually come into the land. In Yechezkel, we seem to have the story of how they will leave the land, poignantly the very land that Avraham was rescued from, his place of origin, is the land that the Jews will be exiled into. Avraham and his children will be coming out of Kastim as they enter Israel, and in Yechezkel, the people, together with their Nasi, will be coming out of the land of Israel as they go to Galut in Kastim. But a mystery still persists. Who exactly is this unnamed Nasi in Sefer Yechezkel? Well, if we add up the clue, the answer might emerge. Historically, who is the person who is a leader of Yerushalayim and escapes the city in darkness? Who is the person who is then taken to Bavel but doesn't see? Who is the person who, as Yechezkel phrases it, is caught in a net as if he were a bird? The psukim are painting the story of Tzidkiyahu, the king in Israel at this time, as his fate is related to us in Sefer Malachim. Rashi in our psukim in Yechezkel reminds us of the story of King Tzidkiyahu's escape from Israel, which closely matches the description of the Nasi's fate in our parak. When the Babylonians descend upon the city of Yerushalayim, Tzidkiyahu tries to escape in the darkness of a tunnel he dug in a cave beneath the city. But to no avail. The Babylonians capture him just as he exits the other end of the tunnel in Arvot Yericho. Chazal suggests the Babylonians only find Tzidkiyahu because they were trailing after a deer in the same area, which explains the net. Tzidkiyahu was caught, as if in a net meant for the deer. Once captured, what did the Babylonians do? They blind Tzidkiyahu, which explains why this leader never sees the land he's captured in. And the title Nasi, given to this leader in Sefer Yechezkel, where does that title come from? Here, too, the answer is Avraham. Nasi atah b'tochenu, Ephron tells Avraham when Avraham makes his first purchase in the land of Israel, a burial plot for Sarah. At that moment, a first Nasi made our very first acquisition in the land that would be our homeland. And Tzidkiyahu is the final Nasi who oversees the loss of our last foothold in that very same land. In looking further at the meaning of these parallels, the word tzedek kind of jumps out at you. We can loosely translate tzedek as righteousness or kindness. It's easy to see the root tzedek in the name Tzidkiyahu. But interestingly, for Avraham, tzedek describes not his name, but his behavior. Avraham first recognizes tzedek in God when he views God's promise of children as an act of righteousness and trust in God. And later, God will be called on by Avraham to watch over the path of God. V'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedaka u'mishpat, and to do tzedek and mishpat, righteousness and justice. But it is in the relationship to tzedek that these figures diverge. Whereas Avraham recognizes the value of tzedek as supreme and believes in God because of God's tzedek, Tzidkiyahu was named for tzedek, but he doesn't epitomize it. Tzidkiyahu betrays Yirmiyahu and lies to him, and he can't bring himself to believe in God. Hashem sent multiple warnings to him about the impending korban through Yirmiyahu and others, but Tzidkiyahu refused to believe it would really happen. In the end, God expects tzedek of us. We need to see tzedek in God and choose to admire him for it. We need to trust him because he is a God of tzedek, and we must emulate this quality we see in Hashem. As we round out our look at this parak, the thing to keep in mind in the broad picture of Sefer Yechezkel is this. Our parak closes out Yechezkel's virtual journey to Yerushalayim, a journey that began back in Parak Chet. I want to take a minute with you to reflect on the end of this journey and how it relates to the beginning of that journey. As we pointed out, in Parak Chet, Yechezkel's journey begins with words that relate over and over to the sense of sight. The Shorash Ra'ah really stands out as a milah hamanchah in that parak. There, God points out to Yechezkel the many types of toivot of the nation which took the form of Avodah Zarah. Here in our parak, we also have a plethora of words related to sight. Yechezkel is always told to perform his actions le'inehem, before the eyes of the people. Moreover, the journey began with a hole in the wall and ends with a hole in the wall. Back in Parak Chet, the hole was designed to get a closer look at the sins the people were performing in the darkness, in secret. In Parak Yudbet, though, the hole leads to the consequence of those sins, the darkness, alata, of exile. Parak Chet indicates a cause. Parak Yudbet indicates the consequences that come from that cause. The misdeeds that Yechezkel uncovers through the hole in the wall are the very reason that the people will be exiled when they leap through a hole in the wall, hoping to escape the sword. It's almost as though the hole that Yechezkel dug for the purpose of viewing the Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim is the very hole that Tzidkiyahu was caught in on his way out as he attempted to escape the devastation that comes to Yerushalayim. A final link between these two prakim, the beginning of Yechezkel's journey and its end. Parak Chet spoke of Avodah Zarah. In Parak Yudbet, we don't have Avodah Zarah described explicitly, but we have something else. The people are described with the words, Einehem lahem velo yir'u, Oznayim lahem velo yishma'u. These words are probably familiar to you from Tehillim. They have eyes but don't see. They have ears but they don't listen. It's almost as if the people, through their worship of idols, have become like idols themselves, with ears that can't listen and eyes that can't see. Yechezkel will try in vain to do acts le'inehem before their eyes, but they will willfully blind themselves and choose not to see. Ultimately, their leader, who epitomizes these failings, will be drawn into the exile he has blinded himself into. And there, he will be made by the enemy to experience an actual physical blindness. A terrible spiritual truth finally gets played out, tragically, in the physical world as Yehuda's galut comes into being. Thank you for studying together. Leilu Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.